Loving God, as we put our trust in your word and your ways for us, may we put our trust in our ability to respond in kind and love others as we love ourselves and as you love us. Amen. Did you know that last week was the annual observance of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity? Perhaps only us long-timers remember that thing called Christian Unity. It's still listed on the UCC calendar, but as far as I can tell, there were no special events scheduled in Grand Rapids. Maybe it's because unity seems too much of a stretch these days. But what should very much still be emphasized was the theme that was the theme for this week of prayer for Christian unity. It's a description of Christianity in action that can still be emphasized, especially for these times. The expression was taken from the book of Acts in the Bible and speaks about people who showed unusual kindness. We who do care about what Christianity means should reflect on that, on showing unusual kindness. That has relevance for us here at East Church. Even today, unusual kindness, it has to do with what the church is doing as we begin our quarterly ministry of providing shelter for families who have no place to lay their head in this week of interfaith hospitality network caring. Unusual kindness. It should also be applied to the workshop that's taking place here after worship today when artist Reina Garcia shares the story behind the powerful mural she created, the one that's on display in our main hallway. Her work is called City of Dreams, and it's about the hopes and the dreams of immigrants, especially children growing up far away from home, and the unusual kindness needed by people in circumstances like that. The practice of unusual kindness, that's what came through in the biblical account in Acts 27 and 28, and there you can read the story behind that little beautiful theme. It was about a terrible shipwreck endured by many who had been on board the ship on the Mediterranean, including the Apostle Paul, when it was swamped by a storm. And they were washed ashore on the island of Malta. And there the survivors, all 276 people, were treated with unusual kindness. It didn't matter that the natives hadn't heard about Christ Jesus, but implicitly, naturally, they knew what was right, so all manner of care was taken to give aid and shelter to the hundreds. 276 people, all of a sudden washed up on your shore, needing unusual kindness and compassion, caring concern, or doing unto others what you would want them to do for you, as Jesus spoke of it. And in the Christ-centered version, it digs even deeper into the themes of compassion and compassionate human concern. Remember what he said. If you only love those who already love you, what credit is due? If you only do business with those from whom you hope to receive business in return, what credit is due? If you only love your friends and hate your enemies, what credit is due? That does not only apply individually, but also to the work of the church. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Doesn't mean we have to agree about theology or worship style or politics or whether you root for Michigan or Michigan State. The one thing that is called for is our unusual kindness toward anyone at all. Without it, as St. Paul might well have said, the church is like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I remember a parishioner, Fred was his name. He was crusty. He was opinionated. He was prone to emotional thinking, and he was definitely prone to political incorrectness. He owned a company that fabricated steel, and he spent most of his time at the shop there cutting rolled steel on huge presses. This was one tough guy. But more, what an unusually kind person he was. My understanding of his capacity for kindness began with Hurricane Katrina. Remember Hurricane Katrina? Back in August of 2005, it hit and caused catastrophic damage to the New Orleans area with over 1,200 deaths and a huge amount of political hand-wringing. But it took Fred only a few days to make up his mind that something needed to be done right away. So he rented a semi-truck trailer. He parked it in a church parking lot. And together, we rallied the area communities to fill it up with clothing and supplies for hundreds of families who had been displaced. Then he attached his company's semi and drove the truck to Texas, where many folk had already been relocated. I know that I would always want to be a part of a church with people like Fred in it. Or Miss Betty. She was the pebble in our shoes. You know what happens when there's a pebble in your shoe. And she was the muse we needed as well. She was a parishioner way back in the 20th century. And one of her favorite questions was, when are we going to do this? It often came across more of an exclamation point than a question mark. When are we going to start feeding the hungry? When are we going to start a PFLAG group here? When are we going to become an open and affirming congregation? When are we going to join the neighborhood association fighting City Hall about the blight that's around us? But the one thing about Betty was that she didn't just ask the questions. To tell the truth, she answered them. She was the cook for community meals. She brought PFLAG to the church, and she shared the open and affirming task force, and she had the mayor's office on her telephone's speed dial. I would always want to be a part of a church with people like that who show unusual kindness. Then there was Dr. J, a pediatrician. The pediatrician everyone in town wanted for their kids. He was so very smart. And he couldn't stop himself from showing off what he knew. He had ideas about everything, with graphs and charts to prove them. In fact, he liked to argue, too. And he had researched his points so well, you thought he had those graphs and charts in his head. In fact, you could almost see the proverbial light bulb lighting on and glowing brightly above his head as he reviewed those charts in his mind. Except when the light turned off. Then Dr. J went silent. In fact, there were times when he pretty much disappeared. You see, he suffered from extreme mood swings. Eventually, he took early retirement from his medical practice because of their challenges. But one day, soon after retirement, he showed up and gave to me a new idea that he had. And it came complete with a 50-page introductory booklet. You wouldn't have been surprised to know that Dr. J was very excited, and for this idea, he was planning not to get the church together, but the whole city on board. And it wasn't a light bulb that went off in my mind, but a red caution flag that was waving inside my head. And this is what he proposed. We all know about the concept of community gardening, he said, that we even had one at the church like we have one here at East. Well, Dr. J took that idea to a whole new level. He said, if we get every business and every homeowner to get to put together a small 8-foot by 8-foot raised or box garden bed on their property or their parking lot, just think of all the produce that could be grown to donate to our food pantry so that those who need food could get fresh, organic, healthy vegetables. He had calculated everything out, and he knew what it cost, and he had plans made, and he knew definitely that hundreds, maybe even thousands of people could be fed through the project. The thing about Dr. J is that he wasn't just an idea person or someone given only to flights of fancy. He finds it in himself to follow through. So he got grants to purchase garden boxes. He got Home Depot to donate the soil that would go inside, and he got their employees to volunteer to build the boxes, and he got the business and the residents to do the gardening, and to that end, a whole lot of people received blessings of a great harvest. And that fall, after the harvest, he got busy again sending that 50-page introductory booklet around to other cities. I would always want to be part of a church with people like that in it. People of whom others say they show unusual kindness. It is in that spirit that I think of the families who will be sleeping here this week as we do our part in the IHN network. It is in that spirit that artist Reina Garcia will speak to the message behind her mural called City of Dreams. What do the immigrants or the refugees who come here need but kindness from caring people? What do people who have become homeless need but the same? They will not be served by judgment, but by compassion. The children will not grow up well or healthy if they are afraid when their hopes and dreams could instead be nurtured. The mark of Christianity that never fades, that is there despite the realities of conflict and disparity and disunity in our world, is unusual kindness. Who wouldn't want to be in a church with people like that? With people of whom others say they showed unusual care. That is what Christian unity is about, dear friends. And that is the primary solidarity in this day with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.